This morning, we are on the road to Emmaus as we look at Jesus walking with us, and we're going to share home communion. And so I invite you into this most special story. We are in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 and following, and this is the first Easter day, later in the afternoon, after Jesus has risen from the dead. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you're walking along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that are taking place there these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how the chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he had interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead of them as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, and when he opened the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 of the companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, there's a lot of folks who were saying, please include some humor because we need a little humor as we're confined at home. And so I thought I'd start out with something a little humorous this morning. I heard about this couple who were taking a road trip. And they, as they were driving, they saw this sign that said Macedonia, 40 miles. And the husband and wife started to argue about the exact pronunciation of Macedonia. And it got so heated that the husband said, "Well, listen, I'll tell you what. You're wrong, and I'll prove you're wrong, because the first place we get to when we get to town, I'm going to ask them how you pronounce the name." And so they drove in silence for the next 30 minutes. They got to that town, and they pulled in, went to that first place, and so the husband and wife walked up to the counter, and there was this young woman who was there, and the husband turned to that young woman and said, "Listen, my wife and I have been discussing and had a heated argument about exactly how you pronounce the name of this place, and so clearly and loudly will you pronounce how you say this place?" And she said, "Burger King." Well, don't we all love road trips and sometimes get into some heated discussions as we share our emotions this morning and days to come? I know for myself, I don't know if you're like me, but for my daughter and I, one of the ways that we relax and just kind of enjoy and sort of decompress is we go on a little drive. Sometimes we like to go on a longer road trip, and we just love that. And we haven't done that lately, and we really miss it. So I don't know how many out there are missing your road trip or how many people love that. But I thought this morning, in addition to thinking about being disciples and dressing up, I even saw some folks who dressed up pets as disciples and shared the photos. But think for a moment, songs or TV shows that were about going on the road. Can you think of some this morning? And you can, out there as you watch, you can type it in if you want. But I was thinking of the Beatles, right? The Long and Winding Road. And then think about, right, what is it, King of the Road, right, way back when. You got to go back for a ways on that. And then I was thinking about some of the TV shows. Remember Route 66? You got to go way back for that. The famous Route 66, it goes from Chicago out to L.A. It was a famous place for movie stars to go and become famous and just amazing. And then you got to go back a ways, too. But Charles Carroll used to have the show called On the Road with Charles Carroll. And then there's been some remakes of that. And so we like to go on the road. In fact, last night there was like the One World concert, and even though we couldn't go around, there was folks playing from around the world, if you saw that. So it was great. But we love a good road trip. And so this is one of the things that brings together the road trip and the journey of faith in a way that I think is just exciting and amazing. And so I invite you to walk back into this story today and maybe to see yourself as part of that journey. It was, in fact, the story of Jesus' appearance after the first Easter morning. And so we're told that there are these two disciples who were confused and bewildered about what exactly was happening on Easter day. And so they decided to walk, I guess, towards their way home. And so the place they were staying overnight was to be Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They're walking along that way and they're talking and sharing all of their emotions and all of the things that have happened in the last days, when all of a sudden there was a stranger whose way intersected with theirs, we're told. And in that moment, as the stranger came, he asked them what they were discussing. And they begin to share with him their anxieties and their fears and their bewilderments of all the things that had happened, and said, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what has happened? This was the most amazing Passover. We went there and we had great anticipation. This prophet named Jesus of Nazareth was coming. We had hope that he would overthrow Rome. We had hope that he would redeem Israel. But instead, he was turned over to the religious leaders who tried him and had him crucified in the most horrible death. He was buried. And then the third day, today, we heard this morning that some women went to the tomb and found it empty and found two angels there who said he had risen. And then we heard rumors that the disciples had went back and had indeed heard the same kind of news. And in that moment, they don't realize that they're talking to the risen Lord." Isn't that beautiful? I mean, think about it for a moment. You notice that Jesus, who does have the answer, who really is the answer, asks him what is on their heart and mind. Don't you love it when Jesus just wants to listen to you? As we walk along the road of life, Jesus knew what was going on in their mind, but he asked them to share it. And you know, when you go to a good therapist or you go to a good friend, what do they say? They don't always give you all the answers. The first thing they do is to listen, right? And so Jesus listens to their thoughts. He listens to their tangle of emotions. And it reminds me most especially that Jesus walks with us in life. It's one of the greatest truths of all time. In fact, it's interesting because it's been said that if Jesus' greatest story that he told was the parable of the prodigal son, which I think it is, then it's true that also that Luke's greatest story is this story that he tells about Jesus on the road to Emmaus, because it intersects our hearts and lives wherever our journey of faith is in all of life. We like to say, whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And as we journey in the road of faith, Jesus comes along. Many times we don't realize that he's that stranger that we reach out and welcome into our home or along our journey. But as Jesus journeys with us, he listens to our hearts and our lives and our feelings. And it's just an amazing moment. And it's interesting because it's that stranger that's highlighted there. It's almost as if you think about that for a moment. You go back to that moment. Remember in Bethlehem when Mary and Joseph were looking for a place to stay, and it was really kind of a stranger, the innkeeper, who opened the door. And sometimes we sort of cast a shadow over him and some shade and say, you know, maybe he was a Grinch, but in fact he was one who opened the door. And even though it was just a, you know, a stable, and even though it was a humble manger, because he opened the door, there was a place for Christ to be born. And I believe that he opened the door to his hearts and lives. And so we think about this stranger in this moment that intersects in that way of life and that journey of faith. And so I think this morning, wherever we are, most of us in our homes, some of us serving, we think of our medical folks who are serving in the front lines and hospitals and medical places, and we think of others who are serving, our police and our firefighters or whatever they're doing, that Jesus walks with us. Jesus walks with us in our homes, along the journey of life, or wherever we serve him, wherever we work, our businesses, our schools, wherever we are, and wherever emotions and distresses that we're going through, whatever heartaches and burdens that we have, that Jesus is there to listen and to share that burden. And when we share that burden of life with Jesus, all of a sudden, our lives and our journey of faith are transformed in that moment. And so it's just incredible. So this morning, think about, he's walking with us right now in our journey of faith. And so that's the first spiritual truth that I learned from this. And the second spiritual truth is, we look at this story as after Jesus has listened to them, Jesus begins to share the scriptures with them, right? And Jesus tells them that the Messiah had to come and to suffer and to die. And he begins to break open the scriptures from Moses all the way through scriptures. And it's interesting because when he's doing this, he himself is the answer to all these prophecies. He's the fulfillment right before them. And in fact, the one who they thought couldn't redeem Israel is a redeemer who is actually walking with them along the journey of life. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, one New Testament scholar says about this verse, he says, is that if folks were looking through a telescope in the wrong end of the telescope at Scripture, and Jesus switches around the telescope and shows them and opens up their eyes, and suddenly their veil is lifted and they have a new understanding to Scripture, and so that's just transformed their whole understanding. And so the second spiritual truth that I see here is that when we have our devotions, that Jesus is present with us in that moment. I'm reminded of that time, great hymn in the garden. He walks with us and talks with us. That was one of my mom's favorite hymns, still is to this day, and many of the folks in our traditional service love that. And so he walks with us. But I think he also talks to us in our hearts and minds as we open God's Word. And I invite you, as you're listening today, to just kind of open God's Word and have it there. And even if you're not reading it right there, that you have that moment where you open Scripture and invite Christ into that moment. Have you ever had a moment where you were reading Scripture and all of a sudden a question you had was answered, or a feeling that you had, all of a sudden it was as if that God breathed some new life into that moment and gave you strength into the moment? I know in my own life, I've been through some circumstances where I faced challenge and adversity and heartbreak. And one of the things that my mom would share to me is, she said, you know, sometimes when I go through a difficult moment in life, I just take my Bible and I place it on the bed at night. And I know that God is there with me and God's promises are real to me. And even if you don't open it, or maybe you'll open it to a promise in the middle of the night, or you just put your hand on it, you know that God is right with you in that moment. And, you know, maybe if you're in a car too, you have God's Word there, and sometimes you're going through a troubled moment, and you just sort of place your hand on that. Or read a scripture, not while you're driving, read a scripture that is powerful and breathes God's promises and God's presence into the situation. And so I think that's what happened. And so we're told that Jesus sort of broke the scriptures as if he was almost breaking the bread with them. And so they felt God's presence in a powerful, powerful way. And so I invite us into that promise this morning, that when we have our family devotions, and many of us are having that right now, that God is with us. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because in this story, Luke tells us the name of one of the disciples, right? The one disciple is named Cleopas, right? And then there's a disciple that's unnamed, the unnamed disciple. And I rather like that, because it's as if we're invited into that story, because we can all be the unnamed disciple, can't we? And it's sort of a beautiful picture. But many scholars believe that Luke knew the name of that other disciple. In fact, we believe that Cleopas might be the same Cleopas that was in John chapter 19. And if that's the case, then his wife was named Mary, and so it could have been a husband and wife who were on that journey together. And so there was sort of this family devotion moment where they were together, and Jesus himself was breaking the scripture open to them. And so even as you're around the coffee table or breakfast table, having your coffee or whatever with your scripture open, and you follow along this morning, know that Jesus himself can come to you in his presence and open God's promises. Whatever your promise is, if you're in a financial difficult situation, as many folks are who are out of work or laid off or have questions financially of all the things that are swirling about them, know that Christ can meet you in ways that you never imagined. For those who are in the hospitals and who are patients who are struggling with this illness or another illness, know that Jesus presence can bring healing and strength and peace into that moment. And for our friends who are health workers in that moment at hospital who need to cling to the promise that God's protection and blessing is with them, then God's blessing and promises can be with them as well. And wherever we are, whatever we're going through, even those who've lost loved ones, we know that God's promise of eternal life and the resurrection on that Easter morning is an Easter promise that's with us every day of our lives. And so Jesus is the one who walks with us on a journey of life. And Jesus is the one who talks with us in God's Word and makes God's Word real to us. And the third thing is, Jesus is the one whose presence is made known in the breaking of bread. And so this story continues, and this couple comes to the place, we're told, that evening is coming. And there is an inn they're going to, and Jesus begins to go forward from them. And they realize it's evening, and they say, "Listen, will you please stay with us at this inn? Will you be our guest at the inn this evening?" And Jesus says, "Okay." And so they sit down at the dinner table, and we're told that as they made Jesus their guest, all of a sudden Jesus sort of turned the tables on them in some sense, and Jesus becomes the host. And Jesus takes the table before them, and Jesus has a blessing. And we're told that Jesus blessed the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And we're told that in that moment, they recognized the risen Lord, and suddenly he was vanished from them. And we don't know exactly how it is that they recognized the risen Lord. Maybe their eyes had been veiled for some time so that they could go through this struggle of faith that is really the struggle of faith of all of us, right, in life. To experience the risen Lord, and who among us doesn't have questions about Scripture or the coming of the Messiah or the promises of God or eternal life and all these things, and to see these couple of folks, these disciples who are wrestling with things, and we see Jesus answering them through their journey and through their opening of Scripture and now through the breaking of bread. Or it could be that as Jesus reached out his arms, all of a sudden they saw the nail scars in his hands, and they recognized in that moment that he was the risen Lord. That's what I believe. I think they saw the nail scars in his hands, and they realized this is the risen Lord. And in their moment, in that moment when Jesus is from them, it's as if their presence, his presence, is still with them. And they said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the Scriptures to us and as he broke the bread?" They were still so moved by that, they went back to Jerusalem and shared that moment with the disciples who were still in the upper room, the 11, and they shared that Jesus was there, and they shared that Peter had seen the risen Lord. And in that moment, as they were celebrating, all of a sudden Jesus was there in their midst, and Jesus said, "Peace be with you." What a beautiful story, isn't it? And so later we're going to have an Emmaus Road communion service, and we're going to invite Christ into all of our homes and all of our lives. But I'm reminded, wherever we are on the journey of life, just as Tamara said, and we break the bread and those hearts come filling out, God's love is with us in a special way. And when we share the cup around the Lord's table, that Christ is with us in an amazing way. And it's amazing because in this moment, it's as if several of the significant meals in Scripture all come together in sort of this confluence around the table. We're reminded of the first meal in Scripture. Do you remember it? Adam and Eve shared an apple. And what was it? It was a moment of a family argument. The first meal was also the first family argument, right? And we see broken lives. And that story propels us forward into Scripture until the next most significant meal, which is when the children of Israel were leaving the bonds of slavery and all the injustice of Egypt. And so they celebrated the Passover meal. And as they did, that sacrifice prevented the angel from taking lives in the family. And so the angel of the Lord passed over them, and they were able to escape from the slavery and injustice and oppression of Egypt into a new land, eventually into new promises of God as Moses led them across the Red Sea. And then every year, the people of Israel would celebrate that Passover meal. And so it was the Last Supper that as Jesus shared with his disciples, he shared in that moment, as Tamara was explaining going over, that Jesus broke that bread and said, "You know, this is my body given for you. And Jesus poured the cup and said, this is my blood shed for the new covenant, the new promises of God. This opens a door to the love of God that we've never known before. And everything else was a prefigurement of that moment. And so that reconciles the first family argument with a moment of forgiveness. And so that offers the ultimate sacrifice that was foreshadowed in that Passover meal. And every meal after that, look forward to that. And then in that moment, the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, was looking forward to this moment, this meal, which is the first communion that we see in Scripture, the first Holy Communion after the resurrection of our Lord. And so wherever we are this morning, there's some folks that are here, less than 10, I would say, and we're going to share communion, but we invite folks in their homes. And whether you're in a different country or a different state, whether you are speak a different language as your first language, different races, different places, we're all united together. As I was listening this past week, this was one of the anniversaries of the Apollo 13 moment, the tragedy that turned triumph. Just an amazing moment, and listening to some of the clips and of Commander Lovell saying how that he had felt sort of God's presence guiding him in some of the moments of life, and they sort of breathed that into this moment that they were out in space and needed some special significance there. But I was also thinking about Apollo 11, when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin made that first lunar landing, and we're told later, we didn't realize it at the time, that when they were there, landed on the Sea of Tranquility in that lunar lander, that they made plans ahead of time to celebrate Holy Communion on the moon, and so they needed to rest up after the stress of that landing event. And before they went out on the moon, really not knowing that there weren't some circumstances they had not thought of ahead of time. And so they had these contingencies, but there was a lot of stress. And so they had planned to have Holy Communion. They didn't announce it to the world, but they did ask everyone to say a prayer, whatever their faith was. But while they were doing that, in that moment of the Sea of Tranquility, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin had Holy Communion. And Buzz Aldrin was an elder in the Presbyterian Church, and so he was reflected later how that when he poured the wine into the cup, they made this special accommodation that in the zero gravity, the wine kind of swirled and swirled and swirled, and then they shared the bread and they shared the cup, and how significant that moment was as God's peace and God's strength and God's love was made known to them. So it doesn't matter if you're a first century disciple sort of wondering, where is God in the journey of life and why did the Messiah have to be crucified? And the risen Lord comes to you in that journey and in that those questions and in Scripture and in that story and in the breaking of bread, or you're on the moon wondering what the next step for you and all of humankind would be, that God is present with us in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup, and that all over the world today, people in different places and lands and races and culture celebrate the Lord's communion. And so I invite us into that moment, knowing again that he walks with us and he talks with us and he's present and God's love is real as we as the family of faith join together around the table of the Lord. I want to close with a couple of thoughts, and the first is that T.S. Eliot is one of the greatest writers in English history. In fact, he's such a great writer that Americans and English folks argue about whether he was American or English because he was born in St. Louis, but he spent most of his writing life in England. He was that good. And he started out as a devout atheist, but he became, through his journey of faith, a Christian with a burning faith. But in one of his greatest poems, known as The Wasteland, he writes these words, which are so beautiful. He says this. He says, who is the third who walks always beside you? When I count, they're only you and I together. But when I look ahead up the white road, there's always another who is walking beside you. Who is that on the other side of you? Oh, beautiful. He says that one of the transformative moments in his life and how he was inspired to write that, not only was his journey of faith, but he read the story of the great Antarctic explorer, Ernest Shackleton. And during World War I, Ernest Shackleton, who had done three different explorations to Antarctica, went on a trip with his ship known as the Endurance with a crew. And it was known as one of the most heroic voyages ever. He became locked in the winter ice with his ship, frozen at sea, in this, told at points mile-thick places of ice. And so the crew was stranded in this frozen sea with their ship, and they were waiting for, hopefully, it to melt, but unfortunately, the ice crushed the ship. And so they had to drag the lifeboats off the ship and wait for some thaw, and then they took those lifeboats and went to a place that was, the first solid ice they'd seen. And then at one point, Shackleton, and they didn't have much food or anything, they drugged those lifeboats that had some of the foods and what have you with them and the provisions. But at one particular point, Commander Shackleton had to cross, we're told, about 40 miles of frozen ice in order to get to this remote whaling station where they thought there might be provisions for them. And so they hiked 36 miles in temperatures that were believed to be 40 below zero. He said it was the most harrowing time of his life. But what he later shared was, and now a journal that's become famous, he said even though it was himself and two other people, they felt somehow that there was another that was traveling with them. And even though they couldn't visually see that one, they felt as if there was a presence and a figure that they could almost see that was palpable. And later he credited that vision, that person, whatever it was, that presence as guiding them to safety. And so T.S. Eliot was so moved by that. He wrote this great, great couplet, this poem. Who is the one on the other side of you? Who is the third who walks with us today? This story has inspired Christians down through the ages to realize that as we're on the journey of faith and we have questions, we don't have all the answers. The one who is the answer comes into our journey with us as we invite that stranger whom we may not know, but we come to know. And we share our questions, our fears, our doubts, all that we have. And he breaks open the scriptures to us. And he breaks open the presence of God's love in this table that we set before us. And so Christ is present with us, whether we're in a hospital bed or whether we're in a hospital hallway serving those in need, whether we're in an online classroom or whether we're home wondering what's happening, or whether we're some of the essential folks in our workplace, whether it's our firefighters or our police officers who are out there serving and putting themselves on the line, that God is present with us along the journey of life. I'm going to close with this thought, a true story that I love. And William Willimon, who is now a Methodist bishop, at one point in life, early in his career in the Carolinas, was in this sort of rural country church, and it was rather small then. So he went to a meeting in the evening, and a church fight broke out, and there's no fight quite like a church fight. And so he was just so heartbroken by that moment early in his career. And so after this meeting, he went out to change the church sign. And as he was out there changing the church sign, feeling all these feelings of, discouragement and heartbreak from this disappointing meeting, this stranger comes walking along with jeans and a beard and kind of rough looking. And so the stranger says hi to Will, and Will says hi, and the stranger said, well, I just want to tell you, young man, that you're doing a really good job in ministry here. And Will said, thank you. I really needed to hear that this evening, of all the evening. And then Will said, well, what's your name? And the stranger said, Jesus, and then walked on. And Will said, this is just the most bizarre evening. I had it. I'm going home. And so he goes home, and his wife says, hey, how was everything? And he said, it was an awful, awful evening. I went to the meeting, and there was a church fight, and it was just awful. And then I was out changing the church sign, and this guy comes along and tells me I'm doing a good job in ministry there, which I really need to hear. And then, of all the bizarre things, when I asked him his name, he said his name was Jesus and walked away. He said, I have absolutely had it. I'm going to go to bed. And so with that, Will Willimon goes, and he gets in bed, and then he turns out the light, and his wife comes in and lies next to him. And a few moments go by, and his wife says, Will? And Will says, yes, honey. And she says, What if it was Jesus? Amen. You and I don't know when the Lord will appear to us through a stranger or just his presence, whether it's on the journey of life or whether it's opening scripture at home or whether it's around the table or all of those moments in life at some point or another. And it reminds us to open the door of our life to strangers whom we may be serving, but all of a sudden that stranger is God's presence with us as he serves us. We're reminded of Matthew's call, right? And as much as you've done it to the least of these, as much as you've visited those in prison, as much as you've given water to the thirsty, as much as you've shared food with those in need, you've done it unto me. And so today, as you and I are struggling wherever we are with this pandemic, and there's so many real needs in our world, those who need a healing touch, those who need a financial blessing, those who just need hope when it seems to be a hopeless situation, or those who are isolated and just need connection and someone to open God's word and to feel God's peace and presence and love, we know that Christ is present with us. And so we invite each of you into this moment as we journey the Emmaus Road together, and we are confident that Christ walks with us. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this most amazing story that Luke shares with us as the end of the gospel, but in many ways the beginning of our story and every Christian story since you rose from the dead more than 2,000 years ago. Lord, help us in our own journey of faith to feel your presence as the one who walks with us along the journey of life, to feel your power as the one who can wipe away our tears and can calm our fears and speak peace and presence and power and most of all, love into every situational life that we're going through right now. Help us to experience your love and grace, and help us to share it with those far and near. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.